The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We are going to be talking to the team from over at Calibra Solutions and also Mr. Arthur. I feel like it's FID. PHIDD. Give me the thumbs up. I feel like I nailed it. Did I get it? Mr. Arthur Fid, who is the CIO, the Chief Information Officer for Reed's Jewelers. And of course, we are joined once again by Mr. George White, the Managing Director of Calibra Solutions. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, Brother Karen, I'm doing well. Pleasure to be here.
Lovely.
Hey, Karen, a pleasure once again to join.
Listen, Mr. White, every time I hear the accent, I feel for jerk immediately, you know. I feel for jerk. I just got some jerk in festival from some family that came in from Jamaica. I'm hungry again, Mr. White.
Excellent, man. Excellent.
So today, go ahead.
One Caribbean culture, man.
Lovely. So today we are going to be having a discussion, and we're going to be talking about business intelligence, BI, and analytics. So let's kick things off with, how would you define the concept of business intelligence and analytics? Those are buzzwords that we hear, but for those who don't know, how would you guys break them down? Mr. Fid, let's start with you.
Sure. All organizations generate tons of data on a daily basis. It's part of their operations. And what we find is, while they're generating all this data, it's not organized. There's no synergy. It's not harmonized. And so you find organizations are data rich, but information poor. And this is where business intelligence comes in. In my view, and have been in this space before business intelligence was hip. So we're going back to 19. It starts with a 19, Karen. So, you know, it's the previous century, right? 1990, 89. In my view, business intelligence is more of an environment than it is a tool. And I think fundamentally that's the misinterpretation. It's an environment in which business users receive information that's actionable, information that's reliable, information that's secure and consistent and understandable and can be easily manipulated, and it must be delivered on a timely basis. And all of that, Karen, to simply say, to allow leaders in an organization to facilitate a more informed decision-making experience.
Right, right. Mr. White, can you add to that?
I would give an example, Karen. So look at massive stores, big retail giants, so to speak, in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. When you purchase items at their point of sale, they accumulate lots of data on customers, what they purchase and so on. Potential is there that they could organize that data, find out what individuals purchase, and then send targeted campaigns, maybe offering specials to each person who has bought specific items.
Right.
And that's an example of how it can be utilized.
Yeah. Mr. Fid, give me that line again. You said business intelligence, it's, you find companies are data rich, but...
and information poor.
Information
that's
poor.
That's a good one. So I'd like to know, at a high level, what would you say are the key components of business intelligence and analytics, and how do they all work together cohesively? So for example, you know, data collection, data storage and management, data analysis, and data visualization.
So I think that there are three legs, if you will, to this BI stool, mm-hmm. right? And it's people, technology, and processes. And what typically happens is folks kind of flock over to the technology part because it's sexy. You know, you get a great sales guy, he let you buy any report writing tool, right? And then organizations walk away thinking they just bought business intelligence. All you bought was a report writer. Because if you don't have the production process internally to mine all that data from disparate systems. You've got organizations in 2024 where they have some part of the operations that are running on Excel. Others are still on receipts, believe it or not.
While
at the same
it.
Time, they have an accounting system that's on SAP. And so how do you get all that to work together so you can bring this information that's disparate at its core so you can then generate information? So there is also a production bring side to BI. And then there is the culture, Karen. You know, I have, in my over 35 years in this industry, driving corporate transformations around the world, I've seen far too many cases where there's a culture that thinks business intelligence has everything to do with the number of reports you can generate and how pretty those reports are and how many charts you can put on a page and how many people worked over the weekend to generate my report Monday morning. And that's not what it's all about. And a classic example of business intelligence is, how many of you would be willing to drive home but while putting a cardboard over your dashboard? How comfortable would you feel doing that?
Not very.
You probably wouldn't. I am a lecturer at the UWI, and my graduate students, I've posed that question to them every semester, and there's always one student going, "Well, my dashboard doesn't work, sir, so I have no choice." So you really trust your car.
We're flying
blind.
That's
the whole point, right? So you do have a dashboard in your car, and you have a report that most of us put in the glove compartment, right, Karen? That's the manual for the car. When was the last time you opened that manual?
When something breaks.
When was the last time you looked at the dashboard?
It's in my face
last
every day.
Last time you drove the car, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So then ask yourself, why aren't organizations doing the same thing then? Why are they focused on the thing in the glove compartment, which is lots of 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper, which is the report, it's the manual, as opposed to looking at the key performance indicators, because that's all you really need to drive the car, metaphor, to run your company. So you begin to see why business intelligence is not a reporting tool. It is really the amalgamation of people, processes, and technology to kind of put your organization in a place where, as I had said before, you get actionable insights when you need it, with the right information sent to the right people.
That's a very good breakdown, and it has me thinking. When we think about people, process, and technology, especially in the Caribbean, those three things are rarely ever aligned in the organization. A lot of times, the companies don't even have the technology, so they have a process. It's very outdated, very cumbersome. It's leaking information all over the place. Can never be recalled or collated when actually needed. Then they do get the technology. Okay, salesman comes, sells them on something. Now they have it, but then there's nothing in place to teach them a whole new different process and a whole new different way of thinking. And I think what the biggest challenge to me is, when you bring in technology, it's inevitably going to replace a particular set of skill sets that you would have done manually. And companies are usually never willing to relieve themselves of some of the skill sets, because now you have the technology to do some of those jobs. And then you also have to upskill these people to think completely different. New skill sets. And if that's not happening, we're still never going to be aligned on people, process, even though you have the technology.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's a harmonization. It's a stool with three legs, and it gets weird if one of the legs not working.
Yeah, it's looking very weird for us right now. Now, at a high level, what would you say are the key components of BI and analytics, and how do these components all work together?
We kind of led into it just now with those three legs.
My apologies. Hold on. Yes, Ricolia did jump into that. What I wanted to ask was, what exactly are actionable insights, and why does this specifically matter?
And so that's interesting. Not all insights are actionable, right? That's just a fact. There's a lot of information around us. Just look at Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, but how many of those bits and pieces of information or analytics will cause you to take action on something?
Very true.
A few, right? And again, you're driving your car and there isn't this little red engine light going on. So there's nothing actionable going on, right? Everything looks good. It's just information. But the minute you get the engine warning, most people will start freaking out and pull over.
Right.
So you begin to see actionable insight forces a call to action. And one of the things we have to be careful of when we make the step into investing capital into business intelligence transformation, a measure of success is the extent to which what you get out of it causes a change, Karen.
Yeah.
And I give you a classic example. As the CIO for Reed's Jewelers and Reed's.com, we're a 79-year-old diamond and luxury jewelry brand. We're America's largest Pandora partner, and we're also a Rolex dealer.
Mm.
We've got 89 stores, 13 states, and we're selling globally through the website. The other day, we were running some numbers through our BI infrastructure, and what we realized was, though we don't have a presence in California, most of our business is in the southeast of the United States, and we're headquartered in North Carolina. And we found that we were shipping hundreds of thousands of dollars of orders all the way across the United States from North Carolina. But we had no idea that there was actually such a growing interest in our brand,
right?
Because they're in California. When we ran the analytics and we looked at the ship to address of where we're shipping to, we realized that given this new actionable insight, there is interest. And what that has led to is a strategy of us putting a distribution center. We're rolling out distribution centers. We call them pods. A little bit closer to these locations where we don't have a retail store, which now allows us to do things like buy online, pick up in store. We can now offer same day delivery in states that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours away.
Right.
So you begin to see actionable insights are those that change in that which already exists.
I love that. So I'm really glad that, you know, you kind of gave some intro to what's been happening at Reed's Jewelers. So the Industry Era magazine named you as one of the 10 best CIOs of 2020, citing the IT-driven transformation that you led at the company. So you kind of gave us some insight into, you know, some of the things that you guys are doing currently. But do you want to tell our audience a bit more about that transformation story and some of the key lessons that you learned?
Sure. We've existed for well over 79 years as your traditional luxury jewelry brand, a mono brick-and-mortar channel, right? And we've been extremely successful with that. Over the 4 years of the transformation program, we've shifted to become more of an omni-channel business model, where we are blending and harmonizing the experience between shopping at our digital store with the brick-and-mortar traditional experience. And one of the things that we decided to do was to become more of a technology-driven retailer of fine luxury jewelry and diamonds. And so we are one of the few, I don't want to say the only one, but I suspect a few jewelry brand that is leveraging things like augmented reality technology.
Really?
We are allowing you to try on the rings online before you make that purchase. We're allowing you to, in a very immersive AR way, engrave that thing right there in front of you and then go ahead and place that order. We've moved in the direction of redefining what a store is. So we've created a concept called a destination store, and we kind of took that from the Disney World experience. Something's called a destination because you like going there, right? And so the idea is to turn the jewelry store into a place you really want to go. So if we can get Caron to keep coming into the jewelry store, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
So we've redefined our stores. We now have a destination store concept that, believe it or not, we're going to open it in May. it's going to have a bar in the jewelry store.
Really?
And that's a social zone that we've created. We're creating a zone where you can do it yourself. You could design your own ring and print it on a 3D printer, get it sized, and then we'll make it from the mold for you. As well as using technologies that allow you to go in, look at a mirror, select your product, and see the ensemble on your ear, your nose, your lips, wherever you want to put those rings. And actually experience that immersive experience.
You know what the downside is to all this actionable insights? I'm going to be spending a lot of money.
Well, it depends on which side of the equation you're on.
Mr. White, I have a question for you. So, I mean, these type of experiences, of course, are very beneficial, and I can easily see how it can help enhance a business. But for those who maybe, sorry, those businesses that may be a bit concerned about things like data, you know, what are some of the assurances that are in place that they can see, all right, this is something that we can safely implement into our business operations?
Right. Well, that really speaks to an understanding of the business value that can be derived and the methodology by which it can be done. And as Arthur mentioned earlier, it's not really about the tools, because there are a variety of tools, but understanding business value and having the right kind of consulting support that can help get you there.
Right.
Another element is actually to understand the value of the data that resides in your organization, because we have a challenge where I would say probably the majority of companies don't really understand the vast potential in doing a lot of what Arthur mentioned.
Right.
Of course, it may not all be that massively transformative, but there's great potential in changing the order, generating more income, and all kinds of positive things that can result. But there's an education gap, so to speak, to understand the value of your data. And a lot needs to be done in that regard.
That's, I love that you said that, because that actually leads me to my next question. So if we want to bring it to, not just Trinidad and Tobago, but the Caribbean on a whole, what are some of the current challenges and considerations that mm-hmm. businesses may have with respect to business intelligence and analytics?
Right. Go ahead, Arthur.
What George I have seen in our years in the region, and certainly as a lecturer, I get it directly from my students. These are all graduate students from several of the companies in our region, is there is first a perception that it's too expensive. There is a perception that you cannot calculate a return on the investment because it's not a commodity, right? It's not this box with a price stuck on it. And if you sell 75 of them, you could multiply it and see how much you made. And so because of this phenomena, there's hesitance to make the investment. The truth is, it does not have to be as expensive as you might think it is. So that leads to a lack of understanding of what it means to have a business intelligence driven transformation. And so it comes back to the need for our chief executives, our chief operating officers, our heads of marketing to really spend the time to try to understand. And again, you know, listen to programs like these and attend the seminars where you can get a deep, thick insight into what it means to move the organization in this direction. I think that there is also another mistake that's often made in our region, and that is allowing IT to be the driver of your business intelligence transformation. We need not do that. That is an extremely dangerous proposition. Love IT guys. Remember, I'm a CIO.
Do you want
right.
to explain why, to be sure? No,
I need you to explain why, because people in the region, the first instinct is that once it's technology, so hey, we have to do digital marketing, IT. We got to do e-commerce, IT. We got to do business intelligence, IT. We need you to break down why that's dangerous.
Yeah, I think we need to stop talking about the IT guy. I think that's the first thing we need to remove from our parlance, right? The problem is that the typical information technology engineer is vertically focused on implementing and making something work. That has now ignored the entire context of why we're doing it. How does it apply and intersect with the organizational strategies? How are we going to measure success? How is this thing going to help me increase my customer acquisition, customer retention, and market share? How is it going to help me drive efficiency through the organization and reduce operational risk? That is not what your IT engineer is going to start thinking about day one. Now, the reason this happens is there is still this culture in our region that says, I have an IT guy. And so if it's software, it's the IT guy or the IT girl. And I think that's a big shift that has to happen, where accountability for this kind of thing has to start with some non-IT C-suite people. Chief information officers, chief financial officers, chief technology officers, chief operating officers, and yes, the CEOs themselves. And it doesn't matter if you're a conglomerate or four guys in a truck, right? It's the same discussion. Do not turn this project over to IT to run it. IT has a role to play, Karen, but they shouldn't own the end-to-end implementation and hence the outcome.
I think one of the big challenges in the region is that you have a lot of legacy businesses that have done it and made millions doing it, you know, for 50 years. And, you know, they want to keep things the same. And they're not realizing that the world is moving at a pace that they can't even fathom. So, yes, you brought in this IT guy literally 15 years ago, and he's been the one that's maintaining your internet, maintaining your your computers, your intranet, those types of things. And now all of a sudden we need a website. Now all of a sudden we have to start selling products. I can't tell you how many IT managers I've met in a conversation on e-commerce, and they're just looking at me like, you know, I'm the most technical guy here, but so I'm here in the conversation. So I really think, and I don't know how this is going to happen, but somehow, some way, we have to get a lot of the Caribbean owners and C-suite executives in rooms where they can start to learn about the new things that their business and organization is going to need. There needs to be something called R&D. We need to have more of the schools doing it so that they can start to educate people on, hey, these are new skill sets, new careers, things that you're going to need in your organization. And we also need all of our business owners and C-suite executives to start keeping abreast with the types of skill sets and people they need. Because if they were doing that, they would know the IT guy is not the person that we need in a lot of these conversations. Rakolia, we have one more question before we wrap up, and then we're going to go back to the bricks. Go ahead, Rakolia.
This is a question for either of you or both of you. Are there any particular industries or business sectors or even functional areas, so for example, sales, marketing, operations, finance, etc., where greater investment in business intelligence and analytics are needed?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you consider Trinidad and Jamaica and the larger markets in our region, the financial sector tends to have most of the capital investments in technology and these sort of transformational models and frameworks. I would like to see the same done in the consumer product space, the retail space. E-commerce is going to explode in our region. Yeah. Omnichannel retailing is just a natural, organic thing that's going to happen. There's going to be an organization like Reed's in the Caribbean. And the idea is to make sure we start educating folks from now on the importance of not just saying your most important asset is your staff or your people, it's also your data. And if you treat your data as one of the most important asset, then you'll start to care for it and you'll start understanding how to use it as a weapon. And I think that you don't see enough of that intelligence. And it's easy to see this, Karen. To what extent are you getting direct targeted marketing coming at you from a retailer in Trinidad or from a consumer product place?
Yeah, no.
And to expand on that, guys, it's typically organizations that generate a lot of data. And in that sense, we shouldn't forget the public sector, because they tend to be the largest employer generating a lot of data. There's vast potential to actually utilize business intelligence to improve the level of service offered to citizens.
Right.
But not much has been done in that regard. But vast potential.
Yeah, we have some ways to go. And you know what? Again, these are the types of conversations that we need to continue having so that it gives people a non-committal way to kind of, you know, kind of touch base here, see what's going on, get some seeds planted so that they can start to ask the questions. And then when they are ready, you know, we are there with the information. We're there with the solutions. We're there with the programs to educate them. Any closing words, Mr. Fid?
Well, again, just remember, data is power, and those who can manipulate it and use it are the ones who are going to win in that market.
Lovely. And Mr. White?
Right, so to address the awareness, a lack of awareness issue that we mentioned, what Calibra intends to do is start a campaign of webinars and other events focusing on the business people to provide information, increase the level of awareness so that they can adopt the technology to good measure.
Right.
They can get the KPIs and the key metrics generated to make a difference in their business outcomes.
And that is going to be greatly appreciated and, again, needed. We need all hands on deck if we are going to move the Caribbean region forward. Mr. Fid, Mr. White, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Definitely a great conversation and discourse with you.
Thank you.
We will see you guys, or at least Mr. White, we will see you next week. And Mr. Fid, I hope you're on LinkedIn, because I'll be following you just so I can glean more insights.
I'll make myself available. Just reach out.
Perfect, perfect. Okay.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
No problem.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye. So, yes, was Mr. Fid. That was Mr. White. That was, again, a really good conversation.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.